This is AM 580, and it's time now for us to find out what's happening on the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. With our opening report, here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, March wheat, open at 478 and a half, down 1 1/4 on the open July, 480 down 1 1/4. At the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat opened at 455 down a half on the open July, 467 down 2 1/2, September 479 down 3/4, December 489 down 2, March of 2008 497 down 3 1/2 on the open. May corn opened at 394, down 3 3/4 on the open July, 405 down 4, September 398 1/2 down 2, December 395 1/2 down 2, March 2008, 404 down 2 3/4, May 411 down 1/2, July 413 down 1 1/4, September 398 unchanged on the open. May beans opened at 745 1/2, down 5 on the open July, 761 down 5 3/4, August 766 1/2 down 4, September 774 down 4, November 785 down 5, January 792 down 4 1/2, March 2008 798 down 5, May 790 unchanged on the open. May soybean meal opened at 216.50 down 90 on the open July, 221 down 150. May soybean oil opened at 30.50 down 6 on the open July, 30.98 down 8. At the Merck, March feeders opened at 105.25 down 52 1/2 on the open April, 107 down 20 May, 108.30 down 5, August 109 down 15 on the open. April live cattle opened at 98.70 down 35 on the open June, 95.20 down 55, August 92.75 down 5, October 96.05 down 40 on the open. April lean hogs open at 64.80, down 107 1/2 on the open. May, 75.30, down 17 1/2. June, 74.40, down 150. July, 75.30, down 105 on the open. And May bellies open at 105.75, down 10 on the open.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, since the opens, the market has turned a lot of green on the screen. Why have we made the turn on a dime?
Another bean-led rally here, Dave. But the biggest thing we've continued to talk about is the subscription to the idea that beans stay firm due to this acreage issue. And I got to say, at this point, we feel like they beat these acreage issues to a bloody pulp at this point, that they've traded it about three different ways in each direction over the last 3 weeks. And, you know, the fact that China's not slowing their demand pace as viewed by the export sales yesterday, that's helping too. And we've been very impressed, I mean genuinely impressed, with the bean oil market, especially on days when the crude oil market has been lower and natural gas markets have been lower. The bean oil market really has not taken a hit at all, and that gives traders confidence. I think one thing we're going to be looking at is, if we're wrong in our viewpoint that, you know, the beans are not the thing to buy, that actually you want to sell into this rally, we're going to know that probably by late next week, because the weather models are directly against what NOAA put out yesterday. In our view, both the private models and our consultants are saying the same thing, that the actual weather turns wet and cool after this weekend. If that's the case, we would think that would be bearish the bean complex, and that would kind of validate our opinion of the market overall, that they're not really subscribing to anything fundamental in terms of supply and stocks, but they're subscribing simply to the fundamentals of really small acres and pretty decent exports.
Well, certainly you got to look at things and say that it is not meal or soybeans itself that's keeping that market up.
Well, that's probably the case, but there's a lot of mixed signals in the outside markets also. You know, you've got the base metals doing very, very well again. Copper, I think, is at about a three-month high. I believe the nickel is at an all-time high this week for the three-month futures. And so you've got the outside markets showing very good strength in the metals. It denotes that the funds are probably in that London Metals Exchange again. You've got the crude, it's been mostly sideways, and then you've got this big fear factor out there with the Dow and the S&P and the subprime mortgage issues. But I think one of the things that we always try and look at when it comes to the economic and the big picture macro stuff is, how is the global economy really doing? You know, you've got your consumers in the United States, you've got this mortgage issue, but you've also got steel output in China up 23% year-to-date for the first 2 months of this year, and their copper output only slipped 1.8%. So overall, net-net, the world economy is still very, very strong in our view, and all we have to watch now is to make sure the interest rates don't go up too quickly.
Was there anything in the CPI this morning that would send a bell to you?
Not really. I think the best mindset we could have right now is the Fed knows there's inflation, and that's why they're not cutting interest rates. It's an issue, too, where it's unemployment. If you had very poor employment data and these kind of CPI and PPI numbers earlier this week, then the Fed may want to go ahead and lower those rates and try and stimulate the economy. But right now, the unemployment would say they're on the right path and they don't need to do anything. And I think they're probably watching the Asian markets, especially what the Bank of Japan does, and also China. They've been making a lot of news about restructuring their financial and monetary system also. So there's a lot of new information out there the Fed's probably watching.
So despite the sharpest climb in nearly 2 years in food prices, the Fed will probably say we'll wait for one more month and see what's going on.
We suspect that their policy, generally speaking, will be let's do a hands-off approach until we get to the closer to the summertime.
Let's look at some technicals, especially in that corn, because overnight we saw the prices tag the 100-day moving average, break below 393, and that's a pretty important level because that's that uptrend line from September last year.
You bet. And the July lost its 50-day moving average. The wheat market, the July wheat, lost its 200-day moving average for the first time since last September. And the July D's corn spread is now back down to where it was and has actually taken out its low from this past January. So it looks pretty bleak from a variety of angles, but that's the market's function after pricing in a lot of bullish expectations earlier this year and earlier this winter. I think one of the things that we have noted over the last 3 weeks, and remember talking about this at the Beef House quite extensively, is that the fund community, who was so pro-corn blended ethanol, they started getting, you know, front page and cover articles on corn blended ethanol that weren't necessarily very friendly to being an investor in corn blended ethanol. And I think that's probably been factored into the Board of Trade market at this point, that a lot of the ethanol investors that were buying into the corn market, I've now taken some of their money off the table and left that bandwagon. So certainly would like the technicals to come back. But again, we go back to, are there other factors out there other than technicals as we approach planting that would say you've got some positive news in there for corn and maybe wait for a retracement rally before selling more than 25%? And that's the key for us, is if you don't have at least 25% of your corn done here and you're looking at catch-up, we need to get that catch-up done and come in with those July calls because they have really come down nicely in price.
Well, if you did insurance yesterday, you guaranteed yourself 406.
That's exactly right. And if you did a pretty sophisticated crop insurance policy, you have room to the upside and the downside in terms of prices and your yield and being able to pay off the elevator with a check because of a prospective yield problem down the road is very, very much more likely this year than it has been in the past. But we've got the weaker dollar. We've got the stronger energy complex overall. You know, crude oil isn't at $50. It's closer to $60. So you don't have a big problem with ethanol producers making money. And then you still got the big issues of acres, what we actually get planted, and also the nitrogen issues you folks have reported so well on this week.
Before I let you go, we see that May corn now tagging back down to the downside. It's off a half at the moment. Does the Informa numbers play into the close today?
We think it will, because we want to see the Informa numbers, no matter what they say, bring the front-end corn back. You know, Dave, we've talked all winter long about keeping the bull spread intact in corn, and that's a healthy market. We don't want to lose this as we go into planting, because that's a very negative signal to the demand base, and it's a very negative signal to some of these investors out there that look at the front end just like we do in the traditional aspects. And so we would really like to see, and the stochastics and RSIs would say there's a pretty good chance this is going to happen, that the front-end corn starts to bounce at the expense of the back end. And so we'll see if the Informa numbers kind of blend in with that or not.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. With every kernel, every grain, every seed, ADM sees possibilities to improve everyday life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Lead options at the Board of Trade, May wheat, 458 and a half up one. July corn at 408 and a quarter, down three quarters. The May beans at 755 and three quarters, up five and a quarter. You're listening to WILO Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time. In the studio, Focus 580 host David Inge.
Hi, Dave.
Well, there you are.
I'm having a little problem with the box here that controls my microphone. I was pushing the on button, and it wasn't going on.
Just shows you how important those engineers really are to what we do every day.
Obviously, they are. This morning in the first part of the show, as we usually do once a month, we'll be taking people's questions about personal finance. David Sinnoh will be our guest. He's a clinical professor of finance at the U of I in the College of Business. And once a month he's here, we talk a little bit about money management and investing, and people have questions, they can give us a call. Then in the second hour, folks will be able to hear a conversation that Jack Brighton had a little earlier this month with Stephen Levy. He's a senior editor and chief technology correspondent at Newsweek magazine, and they talked about his new book that is titled The Perfect Thing, How the iPod Shuffles Commerce, Culture, and Coolness. First, the news.